Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
From the Command Center, Episode 9.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Rangers in space!
Fed controls to outer space now, flying higher than ever before. Rangers!
Welcome to the 9th episode of From the Command Center, the podcast. This is a collaboration between the Pop Culture Network and the Geekcast Radio Network. From the Command Center, I'm Scotty Cash, and joining me from the GCRN is TFG1 Mike. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? Happy New Year, dudes.
Happy
2012.
New Year to you. I know, exactly.
We were going to put this episode out in December, but between holiday stuff, family stuff, and all the other stuff I had to do with Geekcast Radio Network in December, it just wasn't happening. Plus, neither one of us at the time that we were going to originally record this episode, we were like, what, 10 episodes into space?
Yeah, oh, I was about about 5 or 6 at the time, and you were about 10, so
yeah,
we really would have had to get nothing done. And that's not really that easy to do, like you said, with December and how crazy it is.
Yeah. So it's 2012. It's a new year.
We're all supposed to die at the end of this year. So we should probably try to finish out this series since we're not going to be here.
Yes.
And you have to believe it because many years ago some old guy wrote on a wall that we were going to die. So it's got to be true. It's like the internet.
Yes, truth is very often spoke on the internet, right?
Yes. And with chalk in the 1800s, or whenever they thought we were going to die 9 times.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, did you get anything cool for Christmas?
A buddy of mine, actually it's more so me buying my own Christmas. A buddy of mine, Optobotomus, he didn't... he's gotten out of MOTUC. He just doesn't collect them anymore, but he was still stuck in, locked into the 2011 subscription. I said, hey, I'll buy the figures from you. So I got Hurricane Hordak, Leech, Battleground Evelyn, which actually I bought that. She hasn't come out for subscribers yet. That's a whole other tangent that we don't need to get into. He got me Skeletor and Keldor on Cyber Monday, Many Faces. I basically got a whole bunch of that stuff. I got a couple of books I've been wanting, Transformers Exiles and Explosive 18, which is a book by Janet Ivanovich. I got Jeff Dunham's Controlled Chaos for Christmas on DVD, so that was pretty cool. What about you? What'd you get? Anything cool and interesting?
I got some cash, and I got the Isis Megazord from a kid named Travis. Actually became a friend that we've been trading on and off for the last couple months. And let's see. Well, that's about it.
Awesome.
I got some other Power Ranger stuff, like, you know, little stuff. And then my daughters made me some Christmas stuff. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I got money, and money doesn't, you know, you can't go wrong with money.
Exactly. All right. So we've received a new iTunes review. Before I get to this, I just want to warn people, you may want to fast forward over the next 5 or 10 minutes, because at Geekcast Radio Network, we are an explicit podcasting network, unlike PCN, who is more family-friendly. I will be cursing, probably. I won't be able to control myself. And I'm not going to edit it out, because that's a ton of work. So, without any further... Huh?
Just try to keep it to a minimum.
Right,
a minimum.
Yeah, I will. I'm not going to, you know, go off the, you know, Jay and Silent Bob angle or anything like that, so...
Make a rap about it?
It's Mars Day in the Time. Never mind.
So this is the first I've heard of this. So
yes, Scotty is so unprepared for what's about to happen. So over the history of From the Command Center, the podcast, and with any of my podcasts, I always read on air the iTunes reviews, because that's one of the reasons why we at Geekcast Radio Network have individual feeds for every single show versus having one feed where all the shows are set under one feed. Because I want feedback, you know, if someone, you know, likes a Masters of the Universe podcast, or if someone likes a Transformers podcast, or if someone likes a movie podcast, you know, not everyone is going to like everything that you put under one feed. So we have separate feeds for every show. From the Command Center, reviews on iTunes have been mostly positive. There was one guy who became a fan of us on Geekcast Radio Network, became a fan of us on Facebook, that had actually written a review and said some of the similar things that this review was going to say, and I actually asked that person to take it down, because he basically said, "I can't listen to you guys anymore because your facts are so wrong." And I went through Facebook and chat and just explained to him this, that, and anything else. So let's get to this. This is by Ben Schumann. It was posted on January 1st, 2012. "Too many errors and too many tangents. 2-star review. This podcast would be really good if they spent more time staying on topic. The hosts spend too much time chatting about anything in the beginning of the episodes and a few other places, meaning that they don't actually start discussing the topic of the podcast until more than 5 minutes in. Most annoying on..." Let's see, I lost my place here. "Most annoying was on the Season 3 podcast when they spent far too much time discussing Power Rangers Samurai at length before ever begin discussion on MMPR Season 3. If the podcast episode was about Samurai, that would be fun. But if it was advertised as an episode about MMPR, I expect the discussion to center around MMPR." Okay, first of all, the introductions that we do when we, you know, when Scotty says hello and welcome to, and we will always do, and I have always done this over the 4 years, you know, since 2008, since I've been podcasting, I have always done intros, catching up with the hosts that I do the shows with, because, you know, Scotty and I, we text back and forth throughout the month about, you know, what episode do you want or whatever else, but Scotty and I really don't talk that much. I mean, you know, we get along, we are friends, obviously, we're doing the show together, but other than that, it's not like Scotty and I talk on a daily basis. So when we catch up is our, you know, introduction before we get into the topic, and that's, at the time, Samurai was really hot, we were both into it, and that's what happened there. I'll talk about Samurai later at the end of the show. Additionally, the commentary seems to be riddled with errors. While I admit I know the Zordon-era seasons possibly a little too well, it becomes amazingly annoying when the hosts make mistakes, such as discussing Rita Revolto and Master Vile as Season 2 villains, when both were not introduced until Season 3. Okay, now, in this one, I went back and I looked. Rita Revolto does appear in a Season 2 episode, I believe. And I specifically said in FTCC episode 2 and 3, when we were doing season 2 and season 3 of MMPR, I specifically said the information that I found on Wikipedia blended season 2 and season 3 together. Okay? Mm-hmm. So we weren't technically wrong. We were just saying that this information is blended together, so we are going to mention them at that time.
I remember that because I think I actually said something. You're like,
yeah,
you pointed that fact out.
Right. In addition, the hosts seem to be unable to draw the distinction between Sentai footage that was adapted for Power Rangers versus original footage that was made specifically for Power Rangers. Thus, the criticisms leveled at the show for elements that originated in Sentai footage seem unfair when Saban had no control over its creation.
What does that even mean? What are we, when have we ever tried to say which is what?
Exactly.
Does he give an example?
No.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
He basically just says that we can't draw the distinction between the Sentai footage and the, you know, and the original PR footage. First of all, in the beginning of the show, episode zero, we came out and said at the time, neither one of us have ever really watched Sentai footage whatsoever. The point of this podcast is for us to talk about what we grew up on and what we liked from the American version of Power Rangers. Hence, why I involved Spade of the Bolt Matrix to do the Sentai stuff for us. So we would have someone who knew about the stuff talking about it, and we could respond to that person. I have never, ever said anything about drawing a distinction between the two pieces of footage, whether it's original footage or... I think I might have asked you in, like, the movie episode, the MMPR, the movie episode, was this all original footage? Because at the time, I didn't remember. It had been years since I'd seen MMPR. And that's another thing, you know, watching... Okay, take Space, for example, In Space, what we're going to be talking about today. That is, I believe it's, 43 episodes? Yeah, 43 episodes. That's 43 episodes. Watching 43 episodes in 1 month, for me personally, as someone who runs an entire podcasting network of 20-plus different podcasts, watching 43 episodes, as much time as I do have on my hands, that takes a lot of time.
This just guy, so, he just wants to complain.
Yeah, and it continues.
You know what I'm thinking? I actually got an email. I think his name was like Big Bad Ben. Or something along them lines, like,
right.
And I actually like pretty much talked about the email on my from the command center. It talked about how I don't know anything about the toys, so it's probably just the same guy. And I don't know. I like people like this because they entertain me.
Yeah. He also goes on to say, also volume levels are inconsistent throughout the podcast. The music is often a very different level, both higher and lower than the voice tracks, which leads to the need to adjust volume very quickly for fear of blowing out one's ears. Okay, this is, again, this is more me. You know, Scotty just kind of shows up. And I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but honestly, I do all the work on this show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get all the information, I send it to Scotty, we then have the discussions, but I do all the editing. I kid you not, we could record an hour and a half long episode, including additional audio that I put in, whether it's themes or whether it's audio, you know, like sound bites, like Alpha saying, I, or whatever. I kid you not, those first six or seven episodes of From the Commencement of the Podcast, For an hour and 45 minute show, I would spend anywhere from 2 to 5 hours a night editing that to the point where it was acceptable. You know, it was the best I could get it. I spend a lot of time taking very good care of how the audio comes out. And if things happen where I can only adjust it to the point where I can adjust it, I'm sorry. You know, I have no control over other than what I'm already doing. I will usually minimize the volume of the audio clips. That way they aren't so loud. And I will leave our voice tracks alone. But, you know, there's nothing really I can do. And I think at the time, in like the first 4 or 5 or 6 episodes, you had a different microphone at the time. So
oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
You know, what do you have now? Did you get a new microphone or a
yes.
new headset?
Yeah, I got it's a headset with a mic on it. But yeah, no, the last one I had was like we had to pause every once in a while because it was cutting out and
right.
Yeah, I mean
right. We now have the audio equipment where the voice track is gonna sound better. You know, we're not gonna have popping in and out. Sometimes it's not all our fault either, because sometimes Skype will just say, screw you guys, we're going to screw with this call. And Skype will either go out or, you know, Skype will be in error. So the audio leveling is not always our fault. And like I said, spending 2 to 3, 5 plus hours on one and a half hour episode of a podcast, that's dedication on my part to make sure that this is the best that we can get it. All in all, this podcast has the potential to be great, but there's a lot of fluff that needs to get pulled out. The hosts need to study their Power Rangers more carefully and better understand the distinction between Sentai and original footage, and the production values need to increase. Well, dude, you know what? Honestly, screw you.
I don't.
We've said, as I said a second ago, we've said in the beginning, we are mainly focusing on the American Power Rangers. That's why we have Spade of the Bolt Matrix to give us those Sentai informational clips.
And to further that, we don't work for Saban or Bandai or the Power Rangers. We do this simply because we want to. The joy of two friends talking about the Power Rangers. Sorry we don't get every single little detail right or good enough for your approval. So, and I don't want to be this way. And to be honest, I wouldn't even have read this on here. Or if I was going to, I'd have put it at the end so people didn't have to listen to it. But if you don't like it, then just don't listen. Sorry.
Yeah, pretty much. So with that, we are going to go to Nasada and head off to Power Rangers in Space.
Make way for the queen of all evil. Move it.
Ooh, you'd make a nice pair of earrings. You two would.
I'm here now. The party can begin.
Allow me, NTD.
Mother Gull.
Ah, Snake Souffle, my favorite.
Zordon, that I'm draining him of his powers. As his strength drains, the lava will rise, extinguishing the power forever.
Ah, this calls for a lava juice toast to the universe, a universe that shall belong to the Dark Spectre!
Too good to drink with us?
Who are you?
He's a spy.
What? A spy?
Get him!
Unbelievable.
Get him!
Get him!
this intruder!
This can't be!
Glider, hang ten!
Excuse me, your evilness. Let me go after him. I assure you,
Get it, sister! You couldn't catch a cold! Let me go for him!
Hi. Remember me? You remind me so much of my fiancé! Just give me a chance!
Silence! Astronomer! You will take the Dark Fortress and destroy the Meddler!
Show off!
So here we are, Power Rangers in space. A breath of fresh air from Turbo.
You said breast.
Yep.
I'm proud of you for not cussing. You said you were going to cuss, and you didn't cuss once.
Yeah, I bit my tongue. There were times, but yes.
Good boy.
This is your first time seeing this series, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've actually wanted to, before we even started doing this, I actually wanted to watch In Space, because In Space has been said by many people that it's the best of the Power Ranger series. The series is a word?
Series.
The series is.
Yes.
So I finally got to watch it. But go ahead.
Yeah. I remember seeing this on TV. And
did you watch the full season?
At the time, way back when, probably.
Did you?
Probably, yeah.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Because I always kept up with, I've kept up with almost every single Power Rangers series when it was on TV. There are a few exceptions that we'll get to down the line in this podcast. But In Space is, it's really great. I really loved it. I thought it was, you know, such a departure from Turbo. And this is basically Star Wars meets Power Rangers. Star Wars / Star Trek meets Power Rangers.
I'd say more Star Trek. Than Star Wars Star Wars, but In Space is so good that it honestly makes Turbo a little bit better, because now there's more build up on characters, so you can look back at Turbo a little bit more and go, oh, okay. And then also the to be continued. I didn't know that these Rangers were gonna go and be the Rangers from In Space. I had not the slightest idea, and I thought that was the dumbest thing ever. But now looking back again, that was kind of cool. You know, that's a whole nother way to do a season two of Turbo, you know, with the same characters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't mind it as much now. If they started doing it every series, then I'd be like, wow, that's lame.
No.
But no, I mean, nah, I don't really mind it. And Turbo's a little bit better, not much better, because it was terrible. But since In Space is so good.
Yeah.
From what I had always heard about In Space, I didn't think it was going to be good. And there's some choppy spots, but overall, there's not a lot of standalone episodes. The stories are done good, although the effects are kind of cheesy or wow, what the heck was that? I mean, it's still really good, and I've got to be honest. Besides Carlos's hokey acting every once in a while, man, In Space is pretty sweet.
Yes, exactly. This marks the end of the Zordon. People call it the Zordon era. I still call it MMPR era. I mean, you know, you still have that leftover with Alpha and Zordon and, you know, TJ and all that stuff from Turbo. But I don't know. This ends the Zordon era within space. After this, they basically went to each season. It's a new cast. It's a new story.
Mm-hmm. We also need to point out before we get too much farther that you're right. Alpha was in this one again. But yep. Thank you, Jesus. For not making us go through that Alpha again. Yes. What Alpha are we on? Alpha 6? Or Alpha 6 again,
this
right?
This is Alpha 7, I think.
I think it's Alpha 6 with a different voice box.
Right, yeah.
And then, just thank you, God, for that. I was like, oh, no, Alpha's in this one again. Here we go again. And they're like, oh, his voice box is broke. You know, Andros fixed it kind of, so here's this chip or whatever. So it's a little bit better. And I was like, that works for me.
Oh God. Can you imagine if Alpha got turned into R2-D2 or heaven forbid, Revenge of the Fallen Bumblebee?
Oh, it would still be better than what it was in Turbo.
That's true.
That's terrible.
True. Yeah. I mean, you've got the four Rangers, TJ, Cassie, Ashley and Carlos coming over from Turbo because Justin stayed behind.
Oh, no, that's too bad.
Oh, stop.
I'm just saying.
Stop it. And I didn't mind that they carried it over. I mean, granted, you meet a brand new Red Ranger in Andros, but I didn't mind it at all that they carried over. I thought it was great.
I totally agree.
They still have to find Zordon. We don't know what happened, you know. And I really, really dug it. Let's see. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. What else did you like about this one?
I'm probably going to be standing alone here.
Okay.
But the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No. No, I'm sorry.
I liked it, dude. Now, I'm not going to say it was good. I'm not saying it was good, okay? But yeah. I totally enjoyed it. I got to text my buddy Sween Holic, which is PCN's Ninja Turtle guy, which, by the way, you need to check out his reviews. They're great reviews, even if you don't like Turtles, and Sween's just an amazing guy. But I got to text him and told him to keep his dirtbag Turtles away from my clean you know, good guy Power Rangers or whatever, something along them lines. And he just, you know, laughed out loud or whatever. And he knew exactly what I was talking about right out of the gate.
Yeah. In Space for me is so far to this point in our watching Power Rangers is the only season that has a fluid story arc throughout.
Oh, I agree.
Yes, there are maybe five or six individual episodes that could be considered filler. But the overarching story is just so well done. I didn't care for the Turtles thing.
You're crazy.
I just didn't care for it.
They were just trying to promote. That was just like a 30-minute commercial. And you know, yeah. Sabana's all about 30-minute commercials.
Yep.
But, to be honest, I couldn't even tell you maybe one or two filler episodes. I couldn't have picked out five or six filler episodes because it seemed like in every episode they had something to do with, you know, some kind of part of the main storyline.
Right.
You know, and it was just put together really well. It's not the best stories ever, and I wouldn't say it's better than seasons 1, 2, or 3, but it's still pretty amazing.
The one I can think of that's kind of filler is episode 10, The Wasp with a Heart.
Yep.
I
was going to call him the Bumblebee, but probably only because you got the Bumblebee stuck in my head.
That's an insult to Bumblebee. But other, you know, there, I'm sure if I went back and I watched all these episodes again, there'd be a couple of them. But overall, the episodes themselves are just so fluid. So talking about the characters and the Rangers themselves, I pretty much have blocked episode 8 out of my entire mind as far as what we talked about in Turbo. I believe we talked about TJ, Carlos, Ashley, and Cassie back then, but just seeing them move over to this new storyline and the introduction of Andros, I really liked it. I think it was kind of weird that they did the color change, the leadership change from TJ to Andros.
Mm-hmm.
Although I don't mind it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, TJ still was when he needed to be a leader. Like when, like at moments when Andros was, oh, my sister, you know,
mm-hmm.
TJ still picked up that leadership role and ran with it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
What about you on the other Rangers? I mean, I'm going to save Zane for a little bit later, but not later, but I mean, like, out of the original five, what are your thoughts?
Oh, you know, like I said, it was, you know, they build a little bit more story, you know, they didn't go into, like, you know, their past or nothing like that, but you got to know the characters a little bit more and what they stand for and what they dislike and what they like. Like the Carlos had the episode with when Adam actually came back, which, by the way, was awesome. I don't care what anybody says, because a lot of people gave that episode flack, and it was like, why? How does he still have his morpher, and how is he able to still morph? Stop worrying about it. All right, he morphed. It was awesome. Like, get over it. He had that broke ass morpher, and still happened to pull it off. I was hoping he was going to be around for more than one episode, but. Anyway, you know, I did like Andros. I did like him as the Red Ranger. But mm-hmm. I also liked TJ as the Red Ranger, too. So I was kind of like, ah, that kind of sucks. But, you know. But like you said, TJ was still, he was definitely still a second in command. And on that note, I also liked where there wasn't someone in command. You know, like Andros was their leader, but there was no Zordon. Or
there's no mentor.
Yeah, there's no mentor, except for maybe like Alpha kind of told him like what's going on, but there was never like, look, you guys got to go do this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I dug that because it kind of made him go through like adversity, I guess, you know, where it's like they had to figure it out for themselves. They didn't have somebody to hold their hand or whatever. And that's probably a reason why a lot of people like this so much is because they just go through so much.
Right. And plus the whole point of this is that they are actually searching for their mentor, searching for Zordon. And apparently I didn't know this, but apparently Zordon and Andros had already known each other at that point, which again, I guess Andros is kind of like the Dulcea for Power Rangers in space. And I don't mean to say that in a bad way, but it just seemed to me that by the time we get to the end of this season, when Zordon tells him to destroy the tube, you know, he's like, no, Zordon, I can't do it. You know, you've been around so long, blah, 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 blah. It made it feel like Andros had already known him before any of the other Power Rangers knew him.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's how it kind of is, because Zordon knows most of the Rangers anyway.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Knows you know a lot about them,
right?
You know, kind of like the Aqua Rangers when he brought them in, you know, and he's kind of like, yeah. Like really, you guys stop keeping secrets from us. We didn't even know nothing about this, and you know all these other teams.
Yeah.
So it's I dug it.
The inclusion of the sixth Ranger in this one, Zane, the Silver Ranger, and this is the first time we've gotten a Silver Ranger to this point. It won't be the last time. I really dug this whole storyline. I thought, though, that the episode Zane's Destiny, that really had, that more so had to do with finding the KO-35 people, the rebels, rather than Zane finding his own destiny. And I guess, obviously, at the end of that episode, he was like, oh, well, my destiny for now is to help the rebels and blah, blah, blah. Zane is pretty much the Han Solo of this series.
I don't know if I like Zane too much. It's almost like the White Ranger from season 3, where he only showed up certain times and you could kind of tell like he really wasn't part of season 3. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Saban made all that American footage. It's kind of like, right, Zane is from a different series and they just put him in here with this series because he just kind of shows up sporadically throughout the episodes.
Well, he does. I mean, after he's revived, he does. But I mean, the story here is that Andros and Zane are friends, and Zane is in love with his sister, has a crush on Perone. I mean,
yeah, we only went out on one date, man. Calm down.
Hey, one date, you can find true love.
Yeah, I wish that they would have brought him out in a better way. You know, like when Tommy shows up as the Green Ranger and the White Ranger, you know, they're badass, they're kicking ass, they got their own music. It's like when Zane showed up, there was no like build up to it. Yeah. It was kind of like real quick. There was no sketchy, crazy music beforehand. The Rangers were almost dead to reveal the new Silver Tough Ranger. It was kind of like, oh hey, look, Silver Ranger. You know, I was just kind of like, man, they could have just done it so much better. You know, but it's still awesome.
Yeah. As far as the allies, you are correct. It is Alpha 6. I believe where Alpha 7 comes in is later on down the line when they have like a team-up episode and they find Alpha somewhere. I think that's where Alpha 7 comes in. I could be wrong, but we'll find out as we go along.
Well, and our buddy will let us know too via iTunes.
Yeah. I just thought of this. If Decca wasn't named Decca and it was named Omega, you would have, I am the Alpha. I am the Omega.
Good for you.
That's funny. You know, and you don't really have a whole lot of comic relief in the series because it is so story-driven. Yes, you do have Adele taking over the juice bar, the local hangout, whatever it is. You do have Bulk and Skull, but you have the addition of Professor Phenomenus.
Yeah, which is kind of silly.
I wish Lieutenant Stone was back. I did not like Phenomenus at all.
Nah, he was kind of, I don't know. He's supposed to be this like world-renowned doctor that's, or scientist that's like, you know, is super smart, genius, but then you got him hiding in the garbage can.
Yeah.
Kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah. And then you've got Justin came back for a quote-unquote team-up. I did like Justin's, you know, kind of return simply because we saw Mountain Blaster and Lightning Cruiser again. That's really all I liked it for.
Mm-hmm.
But you kind of saw a resolution to Justin and his dad's problems, and I did like that about it, regardless of how corny and cheesy Justin was in Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
I did like that we did get a finality to his storyline.
I gotta be honest. I didn't even watch that episode.
You gotta go back and watch that
episode. I refuse. It's too late now.
Oh, come on.
Doing this.
I'm telling you, I would not steer you wrong, Scotty. That it's not that bad of an episode.
All right. If I go back and I watch it and it's terrible, I'm gonna egg your house.
Right.
It's gonna be a heck of a drive to get there, and I'll probably be tired, but it's gonna be well worth it.
And then you have Carone, Andros' sister. And then you've got a bunch of uncredited people who show up. Trey of Triforia is the Gold Zeo Ranger, Blue Centurion, Phantom Ranger. Zordon.
I wonder if those characters had more parts in the Sentai version, or if they were just like they were in Space version. You know, because they only show them for a little bit. They're kind of captured in certain episodes and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, really, where all those characters come in, the Blue Centurion and Gold Ranger and all, really where they come in is like at the very end, like Countdown to Destruction, the last two episodes. I mean, we don't really see them till then.
Right. And they don't really do much either. So I'm wondering if in the Sentai episodes there are more. But speaking of other characters, I was super happy even just for them to make cameos. Lord Zedd, Rita, Goldar, Finster, all those people. What's his name? King Mondo. All those people were in that first episode, and I was just like, hell yeah. Even if they don't do anything or don't do much, it's like still like, F yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And as you mentioned earlier, the return of Adam Park, played by Johnny Young Bosch, that was awesome.
My boy, that's right.
That was freaking awesome.
I love Adam, dude, just because he's like, I'm a frog in the movie. He'll always be my hero for that.
What is it, Pick on the Frog Day?
That's right. That's my guy. We need to have him on the show, dude.
I might be able to swing that.
Yeah, make that happen, dude. I just want to hang out with him.
Note to self, make Johnny Young Bosch interview happen. As far as the villains in this one, you have Dark Spectre, who is voiced by Christopher Gray. Astronema, portrayed by Melody Perkins. For those of you who don't know, she... Melody Perkins also portrays Caron because, hint, they're the same damn person.
What? Get out of here.
You have Ecliptor, voiced by Lex Lang.
Which was an awesome character.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. I'm going to skip one and I'm going to come back to it, but you have Darkonda, who is voiced by Steve Kramer, and you have the Quantrons, the Craterites, the Piranatrons, and then the Psycho Rangers. Now I did skip one.
Who'd you skip?
Carrying over from Turbo, we have Elgar.
Oh yes. Why?
Now hold on. As bad as Elgar was in Turbo, I didn't mind him in Space simply because Astronema didn't put up with his shit.
She
put him in his, it's not like Turbo where you have,
but he's still, Auntie D. He was still doing it though. He was still trying to like ruin everything on accident. It's just like, no, just leave. I don't even want you to be here. Please. It's Jar Jar Binks. That's who that is. Elgar and Jar Jar Binks are cousins.
Now the two really that we need, well, let's talk about the Quantrons. The Quantrons are infinitely better than the Piranatrons.
I like the Piranatrons just fine. I mean, I'm not going to disagree with what you just said. They're pretty badass, but I mean, they're pretty much about the same, maybe a little bit tougher, you know.
The Quantrons are slightly more intelligent metallic putties is really what they are. I mean, they're robot putties, but they're more intelligent than a putty would be.
I got to agree.
Now really the two outside of Astronema,
the putties were in that first episode too. Did you see them in the back?
Yep.
Hell yeah, the putties. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Besides Astronema, the two villains that we really need to talk about is Ecliptor and Darkonda. Wow, what a way to get henchmen. I mean, you know, Ecliptor is basically this caregiver of Astronema. He's looking out for her best interest. His loyalty is to, you know, to no end. I really love his design. Go ahead.
Is he the one that kidnapped her, right?
No, that's Darkonda.
Darkonda kidnapped her and then okay, because I couldn't remember, because to be honest, I've already started watching Lost Galaxy.
Yeah.
And today I was trying to even remember what the In Space song was, and I was like, it's a Lost Cat. No, that's not.
No.
I couldn't remember. So
from
here on out, after I watch a season, I won't start the next one until we've already done the podcast.
Right. Ecliptor was the black and green guy.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He was awesome.
Right, yeah, he was awesome. Darkonda was the one that actually kidnapped her, and Darkonda was the monster that had...
Nine lives.
Nine, ten, however many lives he had. He's basically a male version of Catwoman, but more evil than Catwoman.
I think he'd be pissed off at you if we told him he was a male version of Catwoman.
The Psycho Rangers...
My favorite, by the way.
They return, don't they?
No. They die, and I was actually super pissed off because I was like, wow, they're going to stretch this Psycho Ranger stuff all the way through to the end. And they're like, man, we beat you guys. And I was like, oh, that was stupid. But then they bring them back with that little ray gun or whatever where he's turning people into cards or whatever.
Yep.
And they actually come back, so it made me happy. The only thing I wish is they would have had evil Zords instead of turning into their own individual stupid monster. Because It's like, hey, look, I'm a psycho Blue Ranger or a giant crab thingy. And it's kind of like, that was kind of lame.
Yes, it was. Now, Astronomer herself, before we find out that she is actually Andros' sister, Caron, she's a badass villainess. I mean, to this point, I would say she's the best villainess out of them all. I mean, she's even better than Rita.
No, don't you dare.
No, I'm saying as far as planning and actually execution of schemes and getting stuff done, even though obviously the Rangers beat her every time, she still has better battle strategies than Rita.
Dude, Rita's always got a headache, dude. It's hard to concentrate when you got a headache. She told you every episode she had a headache.
Yes, that is true. What did you think of Astronema?
Oh, I liked her. I'm just giving you a hard time. She was actually, like you said, a really, really good character. And the only thing I didn't understand was why she changed her hair color 50 times.
Yeah, you know, like she couldn't pick a wig.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then it was every color, and I was like, at first I was kind of confused. I was like, now who the hell's this? It's like, well, why are they calling her Astronema? Well, that's not her. But
it went from purple to blonde to blue to then they had the red short hair after she got reprogrammed.
Goofy like that. You know who she reminded me of? The robot chick off of Jason X that was in space, actually.
Yeah.
Like the Terminator chick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about. Super reminded me of her with that haircut.
Wow. Now... getting into the arsenal, we've got tons to talk about here. You've got the Astromorphers, the Digimorphers, just the whole more. One of the things I loved about this series is they didn't have to rely on a morphing sequence every time. You showed it like once or twice in a couple of episodes early on. And then every other time, they're like, let's morph and shoot out of the ship. Well, that's how they teleport, is they shoot themselves out of the ship. And they end up morphed by the time they get onto whatever planet they're going to go onto. I really liked that as a difference versus getting, you know, multiple morphing sequences every single time.
I guess I'll agree with you to a certain extent. But to me, even though it's the same exact thing every time, I really do enjoy the morphing sequence just because it gets me pumped up for what's getting ready to happen. You know what I mean?
Well, at least in this series, when they started doing the morphing sequence in the very first episode or the second episode, when they all started morphing together, you actually got an individual morphing sequence for each one versus, you know, a series that, say, starts two episodes in, and oh, hey, here's all five of us on one screen that we're morphed. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Right.
Not your fault, dude. It's pretty terrible. And it's getting worse.
Yes, I know. The Digimorpher is the cell phone based morpher used by the Silver Ranger. He enters the digits 2580, which spell out Mega to morph.
Which actually, by the way, is the first time that we start the silly ass cell phone morphers.
Yeah,
that's the first time we ever see the cell phone, and which is, you know, obviously one of many.
I I don't quite mind cell phone morph, at least for Zane. I didn't mind it because it's... I think the cell phone, to be able to communicate as a radio device and to morph, is a lot more inconspicuous than, Kit, come get me. You know, I mean, because really, let's be honest, that's all the morphers are when they're talking into them, is they're a Knight Rider watch. I mean, that's really all they are.
Maybe it is Kit.
Right. The Battleizer Gauntlet, the Red Ranger's special morpher-like gauntlet, possesses three functions: energy punches and chops, laser blast, and Battleizer armor. I liked the way the Battleizer armor looked in this. I don't know about you, but
yeah,
I thought
it
was pretty cool.
I think they kind of use it to silly on a couple of different levels, but you know, overall I liked it. But I was kind of mad. Well, I guess I'd be mad if I was the other Rangers, where I was like, why does he get that? He gets a spiral sword and that wrist thingy, and we don't get any of that stuff. I'd be kind of mad.
Yep. You also have the communicators, you know, the teleportation stuff, the Astro Blaster, Standard Ranger sidearm that breaks into two separate blasters, the Spiral Saber, the Red Ranger's personal weapon, the Quadro Blaster, combined form of the Black, Blue, Pink, and Yellow Ranger's signature weapons. You had the Astro Axe, the Lunar Lance, the Star Slinger, and the Satellite Stunner.
The Star Slinger. I'll be pissed off. I'll be even madder if I had the Satellite Stunner.
Yeah, the Satellite Stunner. I mean, it was a cool-looking satellite-looking gun, but still.
Dude, I'll be pissed off. I'm like, why does he get a crazy drill sword, and you got me this freaking DirecTV gun? I'll be pissed, dude.
I'd be happy. The Super Silverizer, the Silver Ranger's personal weapon, doubles as a blaster and a sword. And then you have the vehicles for this series. You have the Galaxy Gliders. Galaxy Glider, hang 10!
Yeah, right.
Surfboard-based transports for use both atmospheric and interstellar travel. I liked the Galaxy Gliders. I thought they were, you know, because every series to this point, we've had cars, we've had motorcycles. I kind of like that they're like a galaxy-faring surfboard-like thing.
No, I agree. I liked it. It was definitely good for a change.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we go back to Silver Cycle and Megatank and Galactic Rover.
The Galactic Rover was just stupid.
Yeah.
Look, that was just stupid. I mean, I liked how they got transported out to that, like, desert, and I was like, oh, man, what are they going to do? This is going to be kind of neat. And I was like, oh, they're getting their butts kicked by this freaking Humvee or whatever, and then, like, Zane shows up on a dune buggy shooting people. And I'm like, well, it was cool.
Yeah.
There was you know, that's one of the things where I just wish they could have left that out of there. And they're like, well, where'd you get this? And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I got it here. Like, well, that was quick. But he makes up by having the Mega Winger, because the Mega Winger's awesome.
Yes, the Zords in Power Rangers in Space are based on various space vehicles. The Astro Mega Shuttle was used by four of the Turbo Rangers to leave the Earth to try to help Zordon. The Astro Mega Ship is Andros' personal spacecraft that could combine with the Mega Shuttle to form the Astro Megazord. The Delta Mega Ship is given to the Space Rangers by the Phantom Ranger. Andros wins Zordon's key cards, and the Space Rangers learn the location to the Mega Voyager. With five new space vehicles, Zane is even given the Mega Winger by the KO-35 Rebels.
Yeah, they made it for him.
Huh?
They made it for him. They're like, look, we appreciate you saving our lives. Here's this.
Yeah. The Astro Megazord, the Astro Mega Shuttle in the, what is it called? Mega Shuttle? The Mega Shuttle and the Astro Mega Ship forming the Astro Megazord. I loved it. One of the reasons why I loved when this series' original Megazord shows up is that it is a battle in space.
Mm-hmm.
I was so blown away by that simply because it wasn't just random alley in a city on Earth or wherever. It was actually a battle in space, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, and I didn't think this. Going back to what everybody was like, yeah, Power Rangers in Space is awesome. I don't really like Star Trek. Matter of fact, I probably hate Star Trek, and I'm not a Star Wars guy either. Do I like the Star Wars movies? Yeah, you know they're nice, but I don't really like the in space crap. And I thought I was going to be like, in space is going to be terrible, but no, it was actually really good. I liked everything that they did with that stuff.
Yeah,
I was kind of surprised.
This is, as far as the original Megazord that shows up the first part of the series, this is the only time, to my knowledge, to this point of us watching a Power Rangers series that we didn't originally get five separate vehicles. It's basically the shuttle and Andros's ship
that form
the Megazord. And I like that, again, because it is different. And, of course, later on you get the Mega Voyager, which is five individual vehicles. I think the only thing that, and again, I could be wrong because, you know, I've watched 43 episodes of the show and it's kind of blurring together. I think the only really thing that they didn't do was all three Zords combining into one.
You're right. That is correct. Which is fine with me too, because they pretty much came from different places.
Right.
So they shouldn't be able to do that, because you can't be like, I got this from here, this from here, and this from here. You know what? I bet they go together. What do you bet? You know what I mean? And I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Two of them did combine at one time, but never did the Mega Winger combine with the two. I'm almost positive.
No, it didn't. What happened was the Mega Winger's wing was able to go on the either Astro Delta Megazord or the Mega Voyager. So it's Mega Voyager. Yeah, it was the Mega Voyager. The wing from the Mega Winger went on the Mega Voyager, so it was the Mega Voyager Winger or something.
Mega Winger, Mega.
Yeah,
Mega.
Something like that, yeah.
It was the Mega.
Do you have a favorite Zord out of the three of them?
Oh, the Mega Winger by far. I'm actually looking into getting that for a review, because obviously I like it.
Awesome. I think for me, I like the Mega Voyager. One of the reasons is because they have a giant friggin' missile. It's not just, you know, hey, here's the latest Voltron sword.
Yes, I agree with that as well.
The other thing about the Megazords in this one, at least for the Astro Megazord and the Mega Voyager, I'm going to have to grab some screen grabs of the heads of these Zords, but when I first saw the Astro Megazord head, I was like, oh, hi Optimus Prime. And then when I saw the Mega Voyager, I was like, oh, hi Ultra Magnus, because the Mega Voyager is kind of like white and it has a white head.
Yeah. And they totally could have got that off of something like that, or loosely based that off that, because when did this come out in Japan?
We'll have to go to Spader for that. I don't remember. I think in space, let me look. Let's see.
Well, now would be probably a good time to cut to commercial so he can tell us all about it.
1998. So, yeah, we're going to head over to Spada. He's going to give us the Sentai info, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, gang, Spada the Bolt Matrix here, and this time we are talking about Denji Sentai Mega Ranger. The show aired from February 1997 to February of 1998 and centers around five high school students. Kenta Daite becomes the champion of the hit arcade game Mega Ranger. The game's creators, a company called INET, stands for the International Network of Excel Science and Technology, has invited him and his club members to one of their headquarters. During the tour of INET, they are all attacked from another dimension by the Neji Reja, led by the evil Dr. Heinlar. During the attack, it is revealed that Mega Ranger is not a video game, but a combat simulator designed to identify potential recruits for a super fighting team to combat the Neji Ranger menace. Kenta and his friends are given their digitizers in order to become the Mega Ranger and combat the evil Dr. Heinlar. As you have more than likely guessed, this isn't exactly the same plot of Power Rangers in Space. And there's a really good reason for it, too. You see, at the time, the entire Power Rangers staff thought the show was going to be canceled, and all they had was the Mega Ranger footage and no translation or context for what the heck was going on to work off of. So the PR staff came up with this with some ideas, and they just simply ran with it and said, the heck with it, let's just go all out. Do what we want to. Just about everything that was in Mega Ranger was brought over and used for Power Rangers in Space. All the Zords, the vehicles, the costumes, the weapons, the gear, and even the Psycho Rangers were used. The only thing that wasn't brought over was the Battleizer, as that didn't exist in Japan. The Battleizer is wholly a U.S. creation. The only other things not brought over into Power Rangers was Dr. Heinlar himself, a character known as Shibolina, a robot made to look like his daughter, and the evil electric king Javius the First. That last one is kind of interesting, since even though it didn't come over in PR, the idea of him did. In Mega Ranger, Javius was nothing more than a glowing eye that really didn't do anything other than be evil. But he was in actuality the physical embodiment of the evil Neji dimension. Now, who does that kind of sound like from Power Rangers? If you guessed Dark Specter, then you win a cookie! Yes, everything that happened to Dark Specter on Power Rangers in Space happened to Javius first. Even the plot point of having the Psycho Rangers connected to Dark Specter was the same, except in Mega Ranger, when the Psychos were finally destroyed, they took Javius and the entire other dimension with them. Overall, Mega Ranger was one of the most well-received and most popular Super Sentai series in the years surrounding that time. Many fans said that it was like the old-school series with a modern take. Mega Ranger also marked the first appearance of a Silver Ranger, and was also the first time that the Red Ranger was not the macho man-man, but a dense and lovable, more juvenile character. That, unfortunately, would be a character trait that would continue and would be mimicked in Maji Ranger and Geki Ranger years later. Now that you know a little bit more about the source material, let's go ahead and get back to the command center. I'm Spada the Bolt Matrix, and I'll catch you guys later.
Hey, thanks, Spada, for that Sentai information. Hey, while you're here, did you get me anything for Christmas?
No, he didn't.
Spada? Where'd he go? Oh, I get talking about Christmas presents, and he dips out on us. Well, that's all right. That means I'm just taking his Christmas present back. So, what'd you think about what Spada said?
I thought it was very interesting. I think Space tells a better story.
Yeah, I didn't know that they were completely broke like that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was supposed to be the last season or whatever. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm almost positive, and I could be wrong. But I've heard this many, many times that we've had about five or six different, hey, this is the last series of Power Rangers you're ever going to get. Because I'm almost positive that Jungle Fury was the last Power Rangers we were going to get too, and it was no longer going to be here. And then right. Saban bought it back, and now we have Samurai. So it's like...
Well, you had Jungle Fury, and then you had... Our Operation Overdrive.
Overdrive was the last one that was supposed
And then you had RPM, and then when Saban bought it back, it was Samurai. Effectively, for the American version, I think, you know, we said last episode that Power Rangers Turbo could have easily been the end of the Power Rangers.
It should have been. That was terrible.
This, at the time, because they were running into production problems, I believe, this was supposed to be the end. And then I guess because it was so good and so popular and it took off, they's like, oh, well, let's continue. But we're going to go in a completely different direction at this point because we're going to go to individual casts each season. And as I said that earlier in this episode, and I don't mind that. I like getting new story. I mean, because for those of you who have listened to From the Command Center, the podcast up to now, you know, the first three or four episodes, I was constantly complaining and constantly saying, oh, hey, this is just a new character in Tommy's old storyline, like with Cat or with whatever, or this is a rehash of this, or this is a rehash of that. I like the fact that In Space is its own unique story, even though it's still previous, you know, four previous Rangers coming over from Turbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact that as we go along further, we're going to get individual storylines for individual teams from now on, because you're not just relying on the MMPR era. You're moving past it. And I like it. You know, you're supposed to move on in life. You can't, you know, be stuck in Generation 1 forever.
And while we're talking about it, so people don't freak out, Operation Overdrive was before Jungle Fury and then RPM.
Yes. Yeah,
so, because I watched all of Jungle Fury.
Yeah,
and I watched half of RPM. Apparently, I stopped watching it right before it got good, because a lot of people say that RPM got really good, and I was like, "There's no way." When I was watching it, I couldn't. My stomach was hurting. I was like, "There's just no way that this can get good."
Yeah,
but
do you have any like really favorite episodes out of space? Like, are there...
Yep, Shell-Shocked. That's right, the Ninja Turtle episode.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was my head hitting my desk. Okay, besides that craptacular episode, do you have any other favorites?
The Atom, probably at the Atom episode. I don't know the name of it. Let me look down here. Which one was it? The one with Carlos and Atom in it?
I forget off the top of my head. It was one of the early ones, I think.
No, it was later.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, let's see.
I don't remember. But yeah, that was a good one. I loved the introduction to it from out of nowhere, the two-parter from out of nowhere.
Yeah, that was good.
I love the Delta Discovery when they find the Delta Megazord. I loved... Oh, Grandma Matchmaker, that's another... one-off episode that has nothing to do with the story.
Yeah, episode 13, that was a good episode. I still liked it.
It was, yeah, it was funny, but...
Yeah, it was totally cheesy. It was totally cheesy, but it was good.
Really where the story picks up for me is from the Secret Locket. That's where
they make, what's her name, an honorary Purple Power Ranger.
Yeah.
And then she goes heel again.
Yeah, it's like a wrestling show.
Exactly. Real quick, too. Let's see. I think I got it here. I think it was it. No, that's not it. Carlos on Call. That was a good episode.
Yeah,
because that chick got those pictures of Carlos in the in that booth. That was pretty funny. I liked how they did that. True Blue to the Rescue. Is that the one I need to watch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the Justin one. I'm telling you, I completely agree that the Justin stuff in Turbo was bad, but going off of the end of Turbo with Chase into Space, how good that two-part finale was, Chase into Space, and seeing the character development with Justin and his dad in that two-part episode. To True Blue to the Rescue, you see the finality of Justin's story in that. So it's good. It's not just there to be there.
I'll go back and watch it. No, I mean, no big deal.
Yeah. And then Ghosts in the Machine is where the psychos kind of come back as ghosts. I thought that was a really cool thing. And then Countdown to Destruction, the two-part finale. One of... if not the best two-part finale to this point.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm just looking up something.
Countdown to Destruction had the biggest character development for Bulk and Skull. Because Astronema's like, Power Rangers, you need to turn yourselves in or we're going to destroy everyone here. And Bulk and Skull, along with every other human, stands up and says, hey, I'm this Ranger, I'm that Ranger. So, you know, they really have a lot of character development in standing up for the Power Rangers. And then this is really where we get to the point of, oh, hey, it doesn't have to be a secret anymore. Where are the Power Rangers?
Yeah.
And Skull are like, them? Really? Them?
Yeah, I thought that was entertaining. What the frick was I just going to say?
What were you looking up?
Well, I was trying to figure out what episode Adam was in.
Oh.
A Date with Danger. Nah, I made that up. Always a Chance.
Yeah, that's what it is. Always a Chance. Yep.
But, yeah, that was my favorite episode. Yeah. But not to get too far off subject here.
Yes.
I've already told you that I've started watching Lost Galaxy, and I already absolutely love it, just because in the very beginning, they go to a museum and get the Astro Mega, the Mega Shuttle, so they can go save their friend. And they're like, come on, we heard about this thing. This has got to work. And like Alpha's in there like a tour guide.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? No, we can't get this thing going. And then the mechanic, what the frick is his name right now? TJ. No,
it's not TJ. It's God. Why are you jumping ahead, dude?
I don't know.
Oh God.
No, I feel bad because I named the one black guy the other black guy's name.
Oh my God. Ah, brain fart.
Anyway, go ahead and continue what we're talking about. I just loved it right out of the gate because they're taking that
Damon. Damon Henderson, yes, Green Galaxy Ranger.
Damon Hendrix, Leo.
Yeah. Kai and Maya.
Maya, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, Bulk and Skull finally get character development at the end of the series. I mean, they've been, at this point, they are the two oldest cast members as far as storyline. They've been there from the beginning, and they finally get character development when they stand up and say, hey, look, we're all Power Rangers. And then, you know, of course, the five show up and say, or the four, or whatever, because I think Andros was off trying
Is off trying to get Zordon.
Yeah, Caron.
Yeah, Zordon and Caron.
Yeah, and they're like, we're the Power Rangers, and the secret is basically out. I'm going to have to start watching Lost Galaxy to remember this, but I don't think that they keep the identity a secret. There's one season here coming up soon where the identities are not a secret.
Oh, they're a secret in Lost Galaxy.
Oh, they are? Okay.
Yeah, because they're all part of this right. colony or whatever.
And Terra Avenger, right. Yeah,
and it's also funny because they leave Skull at home. So Skull's no longer in Power Rangers, and Bulk continues. Well, I'm pretty sure he's somebody's cousin or something, dude.
Yeah,
he's got to be the writer's, the director's family member because he's been in more episodes than anybody.
Well, we'll get to that. So you said you didn't remember the theme song to Space.
I remember it now. I remembered it later on.
I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it,
too. I thought it was great.
Is it the same guy that did the same song as the other ones?
Because
he's amazing.
I think it was, but I could be wrong. I think there is a point where Ron Wasserman's bowed out, and then he came back. I think this was the last one he did, and then someone else has done the other ones up until, I want to say, Operation Overdrive.
Lost Galaxy song's pretty good,
and I
just would have figured it was the same guy that did them, because
no,
the guy that does these songs, he's good. They're good songs. They're very catchy. You know, they're cheesy. You know, that shows the morpher and it's doing the countdown, and then the In Space song starts. And by the way, I love that morpher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get that morpher, you know, from the different boards or on eBay or whatever. It's very hard to find, and it's very expensive. So.
Hopefully so speaking of the toys and stuff, what In Space toys do you have?
None, because I didn't. The only In Space toy I had were a few of the figures, and that was by sheer accident. Like if I had got anything from eBay or whatever, and it was like a lot of figures, and then somebody would send me a couple extra figures that were just like thrown into a bin.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was, you know, I had a couple of the light up helmets. And I could just I could never understand why their helmets lit up. And I was like, what? That's just stupid. And I was like, because the Pink Ranger's like a cell phone or something. And
I didn't understand that in the show either. When they showed that off in the show, I'm like, wait, why? Are the helmets lighting up?
Yeah, they didn't really do too much with it. I figured they could like reach in there and like get something out, or I thought it was maybe it was like Orko's hat, you know, where they could just like, you know, pull stuff out, but no, they never did really use it.
So, all right, we are going to take a commercial break. You're going to hear a couple of ads, and we'll come back to close the show.
Are you a fan of Mattel's Masters of the Universe toy line? How about Princess of Power, New Adventures of He-Man, or 2000X Masters of the Universe? Hey guys, I'm Pixel Dan, and my new show, Power and Honor, the World of Masters of the Universe Toys, takes a look at all of the above-mentioned lines. In every episode, I'll take a look at a different action figure, vehicle, or playset from the world of He-Man. It's a great place where you can reminisce about your favorite toys from the past, or even learn some things that you may not have already known. A new episode airs bi-weekly on He-Man.org and PopCultureNetwork.com. Swing by and check it out. Good journey.
What it is, friends. Sween Hollick here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, Vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com. Part of the Pop Culture Network.
You can now hear the KidCast Radio Network while on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is a free use and talk mobile app available for your smartphone. And when you download Stitcher to hear KidCast Radio, you'll have a chance to win money. Downloading is quick and easy. Just find Stitcher in the App Store. During registration, hit the promo code box and enter KidCast Radio, all one word, to get automatically entered to win $100. The latest episodes of the shows will be waiting for you and your favorites. You'll get access to lots of other amazing shows, too. Always available to you on demand, no syncing. It's Stitcher Smart Radio. Don't forget to enter promo code KidCast Radio when you register.
...2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become Masters in Space, and finally Masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey! We are back, and before we close the show, one of the forum members over at PCN actually, when I posted saying that we were getting ready to record this episode, I believe it's a he, Chaotix12345, basically made a long post on the forum saying, you know, giving his thoughts on each PR season from the Point of Space to Samurai, I believe it is. And basically what I've done is I've gone and I've chopped that post apart to include his feedback in each of our episodes.
Sweet.
So here is his thoughts on space. He's basically replying to me because I said something about space was easily way better than Turbo. And he says, with good reason, space is easily the best PR season. It took the past seasons and built upon their own continuity to create an epic unlike any other. The finale is one of the best endings in PR history. Fittingly, though, as Space was supposed to be the last PR season after the disappointing ratings from the first half of Turbo. And it's easily one of the best and most memorable episodes. Enjoy it, guys. So thank you to you, Chaotix12345. And as I said, I will include his feedback in each future episode that we do. Because we care.
No, yeah, I did have a final thought. We didn't really touch on the fact that Astronomo is trying to overtake Dark Spectre. which I thought was super awesome. You know, because she was like kind of like Evil Lynn and Skeletor. She's kind of like, look, no, I'm on your side. I'm totally got your back, but I'm trying to take over this kingdom. You know,
yes,
and
exactly.
I liked how he actually died, but not really. Then he came back to life and killed what's his name with his final life?
Darkonda.
Yes, that was kind of awesome because I was like, well, that's all it took. He just kamikazed into this freaking Dark Spectre, and then he was like, nah, look, I'm still alive, and now I eat you.
Yeah. One of the things that was ingenious about Astronema, again, one of the reasons why I say to this point in the history of Power Rangers that she is the best villainess as far as planning goes, she tied in the Psycho Rangers' energy to drain Dark Spectre.
Mm-hmm.
Rita would never do something like that. She wouldn't even think about that. And that's why I say, you know, battle strategy-wise, Astronema is the better villainess. And I thought that was very, very cool. The ending to this with, you know, KO-35 tears reviving Corone, I thought that was kind of cliched, but it was still nice. One thing we didn't mention earlier was when Andros, you know, destroyed Zordon's tube, Zordon is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And the release of his good energy is what saved the universe.
Turn everybody back to normal and into decent people.
Yep. It's kind of like, oh, what is it? With the power of the Matrix, you will light our darkest hour.
Oh, that's exactly what it was. That's what I felt too. And it turned the chick from Turbo back into like her normal self.
Yeah. It turned, Demetria into what's her name? God.
Regular lady.
Oh no. Turn Divatox. I said Demetria. Turn Divatox into Demetria because it's, you know, the same actress that played both roles.
Yep.
Turned Rita and Zed into so weird. Turned Rita and Zed into almost Shakespearean actors or something.
Yeah, that was Shakespeare, dude. All this time, who would have guessed that Shakespeare was Lord Zed? And he would have got away with it if it weren't for them silly Rangers.
Yes. So any other final thoughts before I close it out?
No, that was it. I mean, I wish they could have done a little bit more with the Zords, I guess, overall. Because, you know, throughout the series and the season, I kind of got the Zords kind of confused, except for the Mega Winger, maybe because he was my favorite, but I was just kind of like, now wait, what? Now, which one is this now? But, you know, obviously their main Zord had the M on the chest.
Yeah, yeah.
But overall, man, it was such a relief from Turbo.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I really nitpicked a lot of stuff out of this one because it's just so, like, a lot of the nitpicky stuff is easily overlooked because of how good the story was.
I wonder if it was good because Turbo was so bad or just because a little bit of both.
No, it's good because it was a good story. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, through MMPR, through Zeo, through Turbo, you had a running storyline, but you didn't have a running consistent storyline where, you know, those all of those previous seasons were more like, hey, here's the adventure of the week. Whereas this has a continuous storyline with a few adventures of the week splashed throughout it. And it stands on its own. I mean, even if this was an individual season that had no ties to the Zordon era, this story would stand on its own, I think.
Yeah. And I'm glad that it's not just me and you that thinks Turbo is bad. You know, it's not just our crazy imagination. It's actually terrible.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But that's good.
So thank you for joining us here on From the Command Center, the podcast. As always, get in contact with us to leave feedback for the show. Visit the network websites, geekcastradio.com and popculturenetwork.com. Join the forums over at PCN and comment over there. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. We've already covered the iTunes stuff today. Follow us on Twitter. The show name there is... Oh, wait, I haven't created a show Twitter for this. Derp. Mine is TFGMMike. You can follow Pop Culture Net and Geekcast Radio for the other network stuff. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. You can also search out Pop Culture Network over there. You can find the award-winning From the Command Center video series on YouTube. That's youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Call the voicemail line. Tell us what show you're leaving the message for and your name. 502-526-5821. We hope you enjoyed this episode of From the Command Center and wish you'll join us next time when we will be continuing the Power Ranger talk with Power Rangers Lost Galaxy. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Scotty Cash.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
This is Astronema. The rest of the universe has surrendered. The Power Rangers aren't going to save you. They've already tried, and they failed. I control Earth. The Rangers are among you, somewhere, hiding from me. This is not acceptable. By tomorrow morning, I want them brought to me, or I'll destroy the whole planet. It's them, or you!
But she said, and she means it too!
We're desperate here. We gotta do something.
Look, we've been talking and talking over and over. What are we gonna do? I mean, where are the Power Rangers?
Yeah, if they're here, why don't they come help us?
Maybe they've left us.
Maybe she's right. Maybe they have left us.
Wait a minute. Listen, everyone. The Rangers have never let us down before. We have to believe they'll be here.
Power Rangers, you're cowards! You would sacrifice this whole planet. I'll ask one last time. Where are the Rangers?
Apparently, they are going to keep them hidden from you.
As you wish. Let the destruction of Earth be-
Wait! I am the Blue Ranger! Black Ranger!
I am the Red Ranger!
You can call me the Pink Ranger!
Incredible.
I'm the Silver Ranger!
And I'm the Yellow Ranger!
I'm a Ranger too!
Me too! I'm a Ranger!
I can't believe this. Fine, then. Destroy them all!
Hold it right there!
We are the Power Rangers. Them? Ready!
Let's rock it!
Let the power protect you.